listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering.
Hey there, and welcome to the second episode of Health Savvy You. I'm so glad you're here. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'd love for you to go back and check out the episode first, where we all talk about health literacy. What is it? Why it matters, and how it's your secret superpower in today's noisy health world. And if you have already listened to the first episode, thank you. Thank you for your support, your messages, and all the love you have shown. It means the world to me. Today, we are officially kicking off our first big module on health misinformation. And in this episode, think of it as chapter one, we are going back to the basics. What is health misinformation? How big is the problem? And can we do anything about it? So buckle up, because we are diving in. I'm old enough to remember life before social media. Yep, I said it. Before Facebook, WhatsApp, Reddit, before the endless scroll of opinions disguised as facts. When these platforms first came around, I honestly thought, wow, this is amazing. People from all over the world can share their thoughts and experiences. We have so much knowledge available to us now. And surely, people wouldn't post things that aren't true, right? Oh boy, was I wrong. Not only were people sharing information that was false or totally unproven, it was spreading like wildfire. No one was checking it. No one was stopping it. And the rest of us, we were reading it, believing it, and let's be honest, not really fact-checking any of it. And that trend, it's only gotten worse. Tell me, have you ever felt that way? Like, you're reading something online and you just assume it must be true because it's being seen by thousands, maybe millions of people? I mean, wouldn't someone care if we were sharing information that's false? Wouldn't someone stop them? Well, today we're going to talk about why that doesn't always happen. Why social media can be a force for good and for harm, and why fighting misinformation is one of the biggest challenges that we face today, not just as individuals, but as global community. In the first segment of today's episode, let's talk about what health misinformation really is and what are its different types. A lot was said about health misinformation when the COVID-19 pandemic hit us. Suddenly, health misinformation took center stage in public health. There was so much misinformation going around that it became one of the biggest nuisances for public health professionals, many of whom were unable to do their jobs well because of all the incorrect information spreading around us. So let's start with the basics first. What does misinformation mean? And what is this ongoing pandemic of information called as infodemic all about? In simple terms, an infodemic happens when every time we open our social media or news app or have conversations with our family and friends, we are all talking about or hearing about the same thing over and over again. And it doesn't even matter whether the information we're getting is true or not. For example, during the COVID-19 pandemic, that was all we were hearing and talking about. It didn't matter if we were discussing the problem or debating the solutions. The constant overflow of information, what an infodemic really is, starts to numb our senses and dull our thinking. We become so oversaturated with information that we stop processing it critically. This can lead to emotional reactions such as fear and anger. None of this, unfortunately, is good for our health or for our ability to make sound decisions, because at some point we lose the plot and stop caring whether the information we have is even right. Now, within the scope of infodemic lies the deeper problem of incorrect information. To be clear, the problem of incorrect information exists with or without the infodemic, but it becomes exaggerated and more dangerous during an infodemic. There are three main types of incorrect information, and the difference between them lies in the truth of the content and the intention behind sharing that information. Misinformation is when incorrect information is shared without any intention to harm. And let's be honest, most of us have been guilty of spreading it. Has it ever happened that you read about some quick health fix or a miracle cure for a condition and then, out of good intentions, shared it with someone you care about? I have heard so many people talk about miracle drinks that can cure cancer. And I truly believe that when people share this kind of information, they mean well. They want to see their loved ones healthy. But here's the tough truth. When we don't fact check before sharing, we're not helping. We're hurting. We become unwitting partners in the spread of misinformation. All those WhatsApp forwards, all those Instagram stories we casually share, unfortunately, they're a big reason why misinformation spreads. Our innocence, our good intentions are being used against us. But not all incorrect information is spread without bad intent. Some people actually benefit from intentionally spreading false information. Sometimes it's for financial gains. Think of all the people trying to sell quick fixes and magic pills. They make a lot of money from people's fear, hope. Some of these individuals became multimillionaires by selling unscientific, unproven cures and remedies. Other times, the motives are political. During COVID-19, several political figures spread falsehoods about virus origins, potential cures to gain popularity with certain groups of people who were overwhelmed by uncertainty of the crisis. Then there is a third motive that's usually not that obvious, emotional gains. People may spread false health information to feel powerful, to control the narrative, or to connect with people who share their beliefs. For some, sharing something alternative gives them a sense of agency or community. When false information is spread intentionally in order to gain something like money, power, or control, that is called as disinformation. And while the total number of people who spread disinformation on purpose may not be big, the real danger comes from what happens next. When well-meaning people like us believe that false information and share it without checking, that's when disinformation becomes misinformation and the problem explodes. Think of it like gossip. If one friend gossips about someone they hate, it doesn't become a big deal unless others in the group believe that gossip and start spreading it too. Even if they don't hate that person or mean harm to them, their actions help the rumor grow. That's exactly what happens with disinformation. It starts with a harmful intent, but grows because of unintentional participation. And finally, there is third kind of harmful information. Malinformation. Malinformation is when information that's technically true is taken out of context and shared in a way that causes harm. It's a twisted truth. For example, someone might share an old image of an empty grocery store shelf to create panic about food shortages, maybe to stir public fear or manipulate public opinion for political gain. The key difference here is that the information may be factually correct, but it's shared with an intention to mislead, frighten, or harm. So to recap, misinformation is false info shared with bad intent. Disinformation is false info shared with bad intent for gain. And malinformation is true info shared in a misleading or harmful way. Understanding these distinctions matter because the better we understand how information spreads and what makes it harmful, the better we can protect ourselves and those around us. Stay with me, because in the next segment, we will talk about how much misinformation is present in our lives and all the ways health misinformation harms us. The problem of health misinformation is not new, or should I say, humans have pretty much been lying for most of our existence. One of the earliest examples of health misinformation that I know of and of public health agencies actively trying to curb it comes from the 1918 Spanish flu. Back then, there was a lot of misleading and incorrect information about how the flu was spreading. Public health agencies actually sent people out into communities not just to treat, but to listen. They tried to find out what rumors were circulating and what stories people were sharing so they could intervene with correct information. Fast forward to almost 100 years to 2020, and we found ourselves in a very similar situation, though this time on a much larger scale. Thanks to social media and our hyper-connected world, we had much easier access to both spreading and finding information during the COVID-19 pandemic. But that access turned out to be a double-edged sword. It's really hard to define how big the problem of health misinformation is, but estimates suggest that up to one-third of all health information found online may be incorrect or misleading. That's a huge portion of what we're seeing on our social feeds and news apps. And unfortunately, misinformation doesn't come with a warning label. It's like we're constantly playing a game of two truths and a lie every time we scroll through content related to health. That's exhausting. As our access to tools for creating and spreading information improves, so does the risk. And this is especially true as artificial intelligence advances. Artificial intelligence is now capable of creating photos, audios, videos that are so realistic that it's becoming harder and harder to tell what's true, what's not. We are rapidly approaching a time when distinguishing between authentic and fabricated health news may be nearly impossible. That's why it is so important, urgently important, that we equip ourselves with the knowledge, skills, and tools to protect ourselves from health misinformation. Most of the misinformation that spreads online tends to cluster in areas where people are especially vulnerable, like vaccines, opioids, and drug use, nutrition, eating disorders. Why? Because these are everyday concerns and because they touch the core of our fears and values. They also offer lucrative opportunities for people looking to profit, whether financially, politically, or emotionally. And beyond the social and psychological damage, health misinformation carries a massive economic cost. While it is difficult to measure the exact cost of health misinformation, one study estimated that misinformation related to COVID-19 pandemic alone may have cost the American healthcare system as much as $300 million every day. These costs come from a range of ripple effects, people needing more expensive and longer treatments, unnecessary emergency care, money wasted on unproven and harmful alternative therapies, acute illnesses turning into chronic ones, lost days at work, and even lives lost. Health misinformation isn't just a digital nuisance, it's a public health threat. And the better we understand the scale of this problem, the more seriously we can respond to it. Misinformation doesn't live online. It lives in our bodies and minds. It has harmful effects on both our physical and mental health. Let's start with the physical side. When we come across misleading health content, say a viral post about a miracle drink or a trendy diet, we act on it with the intention of improving our health. The result can be exactly the opposite, though. We may end up doing things that harm our physical health. We might develop a new issue in our body that didn't exist before, or we might delay proper treatment, allowing a manageable condition to become chronic, something that lasts longer, causes more discomfort, and costs more to manage over time. Sometimes we might just waste our money on products and practices that are neutral and do absolutely nothing for our health. But even that wasted money, time, and hope can take a toll on our health. And then there's our mental health. Exposure to excessive and conflicting information, especially through social media, can lead to confusion, fear, frustration, and eventually a deep sense of distrust. When we keep hearing different stories about the same health issues, it's natural to feel lost and overwhelmed. And that sense of confusion often leads to one of the two outcomes. Either we start believing everything or we stop believing in anything. Neither of these things is good for decision-making or peace of our mind. And let's not forget the stigma that health misinformation creates. When you share with your friend how you saw someone on social media cure their diabetes by drinking green juices, you're not really helping. You're telling them that they are not doing enough to get better when we all know that the person who is selling that green juice is most likely lying, and your friend is doing just fine because we at this point do not have an absolute cure for diabetes. The World Health Organization has spoken extensively about the consequences of health misinformation, not just for individuals, but for society as a whole. Misinformation can cause mental distress, strain social relationships, and even stir political tension. It can also derail public health responses. For instance, when false or misleading information about treatments or preventive measures or public health guidelines spread, people are more likely to take misguided action. That might mean avoiding necessary treatment, using unproven remedies, or ignoring preventive strategies like vaccines. Misinformation can also delay recovery, increase the severity of illness, and even more dangerously, fuel violence and deepen mistrust in healthcare systems and professionals. There is growing evidence that targeted misinformation can reinforce existing health inequities. When already disadvantaged groups are specifically targeted or disproportionately affected by misinformation, it worsens the gap in our health outcomes, care access, and trust. So the impact of misinformation is not just about one bad decision here or there. It's long-term, widespread consequences that touch every part of our health. All these harmful effects of misinformation, and yet we're not able to curb it, right? Because it is not easy, and in the next segment, I will discuss why, despite having the intention to get rid of misinformation, we are unable to do so. Curbing health and misinformation is not easy, and one major reason is that we live in a highly globalized, hyper-connected world. Social media platforms and messaging apps like Instagram do not follow national borders. That means that even if one country tries to create strong laws against misinformation, people can still be exposed to misleading information originating from elsewhere. And trying to block that outside content, whether through censorship or firewalls, often creates more harm than good. So tackling misinformation really requires global cooperation and global consensus. That's easier said than done. Every country has its own values, laws, and priorities around ethics, rights, and freedoms, especially when it comes to things like free speech. And that brings us to a deeper dilemma. Even when we do want to regulate misinformation, how do we do it without infringing on people's privacy and freedom of expression? Many messaging platforms, such as WhatsApp, are encrypted, meaning even governments can't easily monitor what's being shared. And when misinformation spreads, we often don't know who started it. Even when we know who is spreading it, it's not always someone acting out of bad intent. It could be a family or friend genuinely trying to help, unaware that information they're sharing is incorrect. Another huge factor that allows misinformation to spread is mistrust in science and public health. Around the world, we are seeing more people doubt scientists and doctors and instead place their trust in influencers, celebrities, politicians, or random online posts. Why does this happen? There are two reasons. One, we all want quick fixes, but real health science takes time and effort. Misinformation often promises fast results with no effort. Two, health has become too involved with politics. Even though many of us believe that health shouldn't be political, it often is. Politicians use health narratives for personal and party gains, and many people now align their health beliefs with their political identities. There's another tough truth. Scientists and health professionals aren't always trained to communicate clearly. While most of us are trained to write peer-reviewed journal articles, we are rarely taught how to talk to people outside of academic circles. That includes writing for media, creating social media content, or even explaining things clearly one-on-one. Our writing is often full of technical language, and most people don't have time or background to decode it. I mean, think of conversation you had with your doctor last time. They find it so hard to explain you your own condition sometimes. Meanwhile, misinformation spreaders face no such constraints. They use everyday language, relatable examples, emotional hooks, and that makes them more likable and accessible to the public. They feel human, while science can feel cold or confusing. Another problem? Paywalls. Many scientific journals charge fees to read full articles. So even when people want to do their own research, they can't always access the best evidence. That's a huge barrier, and misinformation doesn't have that problem. It's free, fast, and everywhere. Plus, science is slow. From a time a research idea is born to designing the study, collecting and analyzing data, going through peer review, and finally publishing the results, it can take years. I'll give you a real-life example. During the COVID-19 pandemic, my own research team studied whether safety measures like vaccination, masking, and distancing made college campuses safer or not. It took us 3 years to get that work published. But during that time, people were desperate for answers. And into that gap came guesses, rumors, stories, conspiracy theories. Once people formed their beliefs, it was hard to unseat them, even with solid evidence. This is why health literacy is critical. If you have good health literacy, you know not to act on a claim unless it's backed by evidence. You know how to evaluate information critically. We'll also talk more about how human psychology tricks us into believing false claims in further episodes, so make sure you subscribe to Health Savvy You. Now let's talk about social media algorithms. These systems are designed to show us more of what we already interact with. If you like or share a post with certain point of view, even when it's incorrect, you keep seeing similar posts. That means your feeds become echo chambers. We start to think, everyone agrees with me, even when there's a whole other side to the story we're not seeing. But here's the thing. Just because a lot of people believe something doesn't make it true. Belief in a claim is not the same as scientific evidence. And even the term evidence-based can be misused. Just because there's a study doesn't mean it's a good study or that it proves something conclusive. I'll break down what evidence-based really means in an upcoming episode, so keep listening to Health Savvy You. I know it feels heavy to know that we may never be fully able to curb misinformation, but that doesn't mean there's nothing that we can do. Join me in the next segment to learn about one very powerful way we can at least reduce misinformation. Now, I know the issue of health misinformation feels overwhelming. It's not something that we can solve in a day or even in a year. But there is something powerful that you and I can start doing right now, and that is to stop sharing health tips unless we have verified them. I know you mean well. I know you want to help your loved ones find relief from pain, lose weight, clear their skin, or manage chronic conditions like asthma or diabetes. But forwarding unverified messages or miracle cures, even out of love, can cause real harm. And when I say verified, I don't mean looking at a single study you found online. Real scientific consensus takes time. It takes many studies reviewed and replicated, and an entire community of researchers analyzing whether a treatment truly works or not. So when someone posts a miracle cure with no credible source, please don't pass it on. Remember, the number of people who intentionally spread disinformation is small. But the problem grows when the rest of us, with no bad intentions, help spread it. The people who profit from misinformation, whether financially, politically, or emotionally, rely on our innocence to do their work for them. You and I have the power to break that cycle. We don't have to be manipulated. And the best way to resist manipulation? Health literacy. So if you haven't already, I encourage you to go back and listen to the episode first of Health Savvy You, where we discuss what health literacy is, why it matters, and how to build it. Because awareness is our most powerful tool, and health literacy is that awareness. Over the next few episodes, I'll walk you through practical ways to overcome barriers that we talked about today. Whether it's how to understand scientific evidence, recognize credible sources of information, or how to speak up when you see misinformation spreading. In the next episode, we'll dive into the psychology of misinformation. Why do we fall for false health claims? What's happening in our brains when we trust the wrong sources? And how we can train ourselves to pause and question what we see. You don't want to miss it. So make sure to subscribe to Health Savvy You. It is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. That way, you'll know as soon as the next episode drops. Also, I wish to have open conversations with you. So please write to me. Connect with me on Instagram or email me at officialnavjotbhutter@gmail.com. You can also connect with me through my website, navjotbhutter.com, or leave a comment under the YouTube video. I want to hear from you whether you like the episode or not. What are the things that trouble you? And I also want to hear what you want me to talk about more on this podcast. So send me your comments, questions, and love, and subscribe to Health Savvy You. I will see you in 2 weeks. Until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.